Welcome to episode 357 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Sandy, and George. We always have a great deal of fun playing trivia here at Outlander Travel, so we're doing another edition of Two Truths and a Lie. Tonight, we turn our focus to our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Washington has a distinct history, and we're going to dive right into it. So let's get started.
Yay!
So I set this up basically so that it's kind of in sections. So the first truths and lies are about the White House. So number one, the White House. George Washington never lived in the District of Columbia. The White House was completed a year after he died, and the second U.S. president, John Adams, was the first to live here. Statement number two. The original phone number for the White House in 1878 was simply the number one. A phone wasn't installed on the president's desk in the Oval Office until 1929. And the last one, Theodore Roosevelt allowed his seven children to bring their pets into the White House in 1901. As well as many dogs, they had a small bear, a lizard, guinea pigs, a pig, a badger, a blue macaw, a garter snake, a one-legged rooster, a hyena, a barn owl, a rabbit, a pony, and Baron Spreckle the hen. So which one of those is the lie?
I feel like it should be Baron Spreckle.
Okay.
There's a lot of room in that third statement for lies. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but it's a little bit specific, like, you know, so.
So I'll go first, and I think maybe number two is the lie. I think there's something tricky in there.
Okay.
With the years.
Okay.
So that was the original phone number one.
Yes. Okay, George?
I also think it's number two because I just don't believe that phones were invented by 1878.
Okay.
So I also think it's number two, but my reasoning is that I would think that the president had a phone on his desk before 1929, because I'm watching Downton Abbey right now, and they had phones Downton Abbey in like before 1920, I think. So surely the president did. So that's,
you know, Downton Abbey was set like just at World War One. It wasn't in the 1800s, right?
Yeah, but it says that the president, a phone wasn't installed on the president's desk in the Oval Office until 1929. I think that's false.
Well, actually, it is correct. It is true. The actual one that is incorrect is Theodore Roosevelt had six children, not seven children.
That's
but he really did have all of those animals.
Write one of these, you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, don't worry, I won't.
He really had all those animals living in the White House.
See, that wouldn't surprise me because Teddy was a big outdoorsy guy. So.
He was.
Exactly. Yes.
Teddy bear. Yeah. Where teddy bear comes from.
Okay. So this is our second section about the presidents that are actually around the District of Columbia. So the first statement, the statue of Andrew Johnson in Lafayette Square, directly across from the White House, was partially made from British cannons that were taken in the War of 1812. It was also the first equestrian statue made in the United States. Statement number two, the only president buried in District of Columbia is Woodrow Wilson, who is entombed in the Washington National Cathedral. And the last statement, during World War I, Woodrow Wilson bought a flock of sheep to graze on the White House lawn. And not only did it save the manpower needed for mowing the lawn, they also sold the wool to raise money for the Red Cross. So which one of those is a lie?
You going to call on somebody?
I actually...
Let's go Sandy first.
So I was in D.C. a couple years ago, and I remember the statue in Lafayette Square, and I do think that's true about the equestrian part of it. I can't remember if it was Andrew Johnson, but I don't know about the British cannons part. That would surprise me if only Woodrow Wilson was buried in D.C., but maybe, because I know they usually are wherever, you know, their libraries are. So I guess I'm going to say number one, because I feel like maybe the War of 1812 part is the lie.
Okay. Elizabeth?
So I'm like pretty sure, unless you did some sort of trick in there that the third one is correct about the flock of sheep. I mean, it might not have been Wilson. I don't know. I don't trust you anymore.
So. I had to make these difficult.
I know.
You're so good at trivia.
I kind of think the first one is true, but there's also a lot of room for you to have like changed one small detail. Like maybe it's Andrew Jackson. I don't know. And then I didn't think anybody was buried in DC. So I'm okay with believing that there's only one person, but because that's sort of the simplest one, I'm going to say that that's the lie.
Okay. George?
I'm going to go with number three for no real good reason at all, because I just don't know.
And you want to be different than everybody?
Yeah.
Somebody's sure to get this right. Yes.
Well, you know what? Sandy is correct. That is the lie. It is actually Andrew Jackson, who actually fought in the War of 1812.
So I was right. I just didn't guess right in the end.
You didn't guess right. Correct.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! So Sandy's good.
I'm pretty sure I have a picture of Ellie in front of that statue. Yeah.
Well, I expected you to know the dead person one, because you knew the dead person one from the London.
Well, I read a lot of like historical fiction about Henry VIII, so that's
all right. Yeah, Andrew Jackson's he's the big horse guy, and he's the one who fought the Battle of New Orleans and all. So yes, that was a tribute to him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so the third section is about the National Mall. So here are three statements. The Statue of Freedom is the bronze statue on top of the U.S. Capitol Dome. It looks small from afar, but it's more than 25 feet tall and weighs nearly 25,000 pounds. Statement number two, the Library of Congress is the largest library in the world with more than 162 million objects in its collection. This number is constantly growing with approximately 12,000 items added to the collections daily. And number three, instead of chiseling the F in future, the letter E was mistakenly carved into Lincoln's second inaugural address on the north wall of the Lincoln Memorial. It has been touched up, but if you look really closely, you can still see the typo. So which one is false, George?
Wow. I think the Library of Congress is the largest library in the world. The Statue of Freedom makes sense. So I guess I'm going to go with three.
The typo. Okay.
The typo in the Lincoln Memorial.
Okay. Sandy?
So I'm going to go with two, the Library of Congress one. I do think it's the largest library in the world, but I feel like 12,000 items a day is a lot. So that's what I think the lie is.
Okay. Elizabeth?
I hope three is true because that's hilarious. and as a librarian, I'm a little bit nervous about the second one because there's little details in there. It's feasible that 12,000 items can be added to the collection daily because they're also weeding daily. That's a librarian term for getting rid of stuff. And the Statue of Freedom, I mean, if that's the lie, that's boring. So I'm going to go with the Library of Congress being the lie just because I think one of those numbers is wrong.
Well, actually, you're all wrong. It was the Statue of Freedom. It's actually smaller than that. It's about 20 feet tall, and it's actually about 15,000 pounds. So it's a little smaller than that.
Before we started this, you said you only tweaked the numbers on one of these. And
that's
far,
the one. That's the one. That's the number.
That was the one.
That was the one numbers. Yes.
You tweaked the children from seven to six.
Yeah, you changed the children from seven to six.
But those are people. Those are real people, not just
number
numbers.
Of people.
Okay, so number four, this is about the Capitol building. Okay, so here's the three statements. There are 100 statues in the National Statuary Hall collection, and each state may contribute two statues, and every one of them has done so. The second one, the statue of King Kamehameha donated by the state of Hawaii, is donated by the state of Hawaii. The bronze statue is 9 to 10 feet tall and stands on a 3.6 foot granite base. Their combined weight is approximately 15,000 pounds. And the United States Capitol building houses the meeting chambers of the Senate in the South Wing and the House of Representatives in the North Wing, the two bodies that compose the legislative branch of the American government. So which of those three statements do you think is a lie?
So I think that you did something tricky with the North and South wings of where the Senate and Congress sit. Okay. So that's going to be my answer.
Okay. George?
I'm going with the second one just because there's numbers.
Okay.
You'll never believe another number out
there's
of
Donald. There's numbers in the first one too.
Yeah. That one, those are nice even numbers though. Although I'm thinking, like, did Puerto Rico donate a statue or anything? Like, do you have to be a state? But I also agree that the South Wing and North Wing thing, I have no idea which wings are which. I know that the West Wing is the White House, right?
That is correct, yes. The West Wing is where the president lives.
So I do know enough about television to know that, but I don't know. Yeah, I feel like that's the lie, the third one. I'm with Sandy on this one.
Well, Sandy and Elizabeth, you got it correctly. It is actually backwards. The Senate is actually in the North, and the House of Representatives is in the South.
You know how I could tell? I started sweating. I was like, oh my God, ninth grade civics. I'm sure I'm supposed to remember this. It was probably even on the final, and I don't know it. I started getting like goosebumps and chills, and like I knew I was going to fail class, so that's what gave it away.
Okay, we've got a few more. So now this section is about the Supreme Court. So here are your first three statements. So while the Supreme Court justices have normally served as judges or lawyers, there are no formal requirements to sit on the court laid out in the Constitution. Additionally, it hasn't been necessary to be born in the United States. The Supreme Court has had justices born in Scotland, England, Ireland, and Turkey. Statement number two, President Jimmy Carter and Herbert Hoover are the only presidents to serve a full term in office and not appoint a Supreme Court justice. And number three, there is a basketball court on the top floor of the Supreme Court building. It's known as, quote, the highest court in the land. Which one is the lie, Elizabeth?
The basketball court better be true because it's hilarious. I totally believe the Jimmy Carter thing. So I'm gonna say number one. I'm having a hard time. I think actually the beginning of all that is true, that you don't have to be a judge or a lawyer and there's no formal requirements. I'm not positive that you can do it without being born in the U.S., but I think so. But then the Scotland, England, Ireland, and Turkey, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it's possible, especially Scotland, England, and Ireland, but I don't know. So I'm going to say number one.
Okay. George.
I think it's number two. Supreme Court justices serve for life, and I can't believe that in a four-year term, only two presidents never got to appoint a justice. So... yeah.
You think it's more, huh?
Yeah, I think it's a lot more.
Okay. Sandy?
All right. I'm actually going to go with number three because I think, who knows, maybe it's a pickleball court. Maybe it's a tennis court.
I bet it's not a pickleball court.
It could be.
Okay. Well, actually, George, you are correct. Actually, the only president that it never actually appointed a Supreme Court justice was Jimmy Carter.
Oh, so there's only one.
There is only one.
That Jimmy is Carter. Kind of, I mean, George has a point. You wouldn't think that one passed away every single time, but.
Yep, no. So he's the only one who never got the chance to put anybody on the high court. But yes, there is actually a basketball court up there. And no, you do not have to be born in the United States and you don't have to have a law degree in order to become a Supreme Court justice.
I gotta look up who the Supreme Court justice was from Turkey because I can't think of anybody that would be. I mean, I'm not saying it wouldn't happen. It must have been a while ago, but
yep. Okay, so next section is about the outer area of the District of Columbia. So here are the three statements. The cherry blossom trees that line the tidal basin and have beautiful pink blooms every spring were a gift from the mayor of Kyoto in 1912. The Main Avenue Fish Market has been operating nonstop since 1805, making it the oldest continuously functioning fish market in the country. And the last one, Georgetown is the oldest part of the city dating back to 1751, 40 years before Washington, D.C. was even founded. So which one is the lie? Let's go with Sandy this time.
So I do think I know that the cherry blossom thing is true. I'm going to say the fish market because I have a feeling there may have been one in like Boston or New York or something.
Or maybe it started in 1806 instead of 1805.
Yeah, I'm not really sure, but I I feel like the other two are true, so I'm going with the fish market.
The fish market. Okay. Yeah. George.
Yeah, I'm going with the fish market too.
Okay. Elizabeth.
I mean, I kind of think it might be Georgetown just because I think it might not be 40 years before. Again, it's the numbers thing, but I'll go with the fish market too because I like to go with the crowd.
Well, actually, you are all incorrect. It was actually the cherry blossoms because they were a gift from the mayor of Tokyo.
Oh.
So, and here's our last section. It's all about sports. Okay.
George has got this one.
Okay, here we go. So, this is statement number one. The seventh inning stretch was started when President William Howard Taft visited a game in Washington, D.C. and decided to stretch his legs in the seventh inning. Everybody assumed the president was getting up to leave, so fans throughout the ballpark stood up as well out of respect, thus beginning the tradition of the seventh inning stretch. Statement number two, the Washington Wizards were originally the Philadelphia Warriors when the franchise was founded in 1961. And the last one, the Washington Redskins were founded in 1932, but did not move to D.C. until 1937. And they were originally known as the Boston Braves, playing at Fenway Park from 1933 to 1936. So let's go with you, George.
It's number three.
Okay.
Washington Redskins are a football team. Fenway Park's a baseball-only stadium. So I can't believe, and I've been there, it's not very big. I don't think you can even squish a football field in there if you tried.
Okay. Elizabeth?
That's my answer as well, because I also understood Fenway Park was a baseball field and the Redskins are a football team. And now that George has confirmed it, I am totally with him 100%.
Okay. And Sandy?
So I was going to go with that, but I will say back when Three River Stadium was still the stadium in Pittsburgh, the Pirates and the Steelers both played there, but maybe it was bigger than Fenway Park. I don't know. So I guess just to be contrary, I will go with the first one. I do think there's some kind of story like that on the seventh inning stretch, but maybe it was a different president or something.
Okay. You are all incorrect. Actually, so Taft did start the seventh inning stretch and the Redskins did play at Fenway Park. The one that was incorrect was the Washington Wizards. The Washington Wizards actually were part of the Chicago Packers, and the Chicago Packers actually split into three teams, one of which being the Washington Wizards, one of them the Chicago Bulls, and then it split into another team. The Philadelphia Warriors actually became the Golden State Warriors.
Oh,
are you like a big basketball fan?
No, okay. But I wanted to get a very well-rounded two truths and a lie. So I had to bring in all the different aspects of the government, the city, and sports, of course, because sports are very big.
That was a good one. And now all of our listeners know that we know nothing about sports, except sort of Donna. There wasn't a single
I was surprised that they played at Fenway because, you know, but I mean, you have to understand in the 1930s, football was just getting started. So they didn't have big crowds.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, there was a hockey game at Yankee Stadium, so it's possible to play other sports there. I didn't think Fenway Park was big enough for that, but.
Nope, that means it's a little, the green, big green monster got them too.
Yes. Very, very true. Well, that was fun. Excellent. Yes. Except for the whole numbers thing. We really will not trust you whenever you throw a number out now, ever.
Well, I tried to only change one number, so.
It's hard to write these, though, whenever you guys.
It is very hard, difficult.
Coming up with the lie is the hardest part, you know?
Like, and it has to be believable.
Yeah.
So Jeff was trying to tell me, he's like, you should have made it orange blossoms instead of cherry blossoms. I'm like, they would have seen right through that.
Yeah, that one. And I actually did, like, Kyoto. I'm like, oh, I thought it was Tokyo, but Kyoto actually is famous for cherry blossoms as well. And that's possible that I just misremembered that. So, yeah.
See, I had to make it difficult. So, well, that's our show for this week. We want to thank you for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find us on our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlinertravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. So on behalf of Elizabeth, Sandy, George, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.